Hoop Heads podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
We have to realize that high performance in basketball or in business, it's not a result of what you do every once in a while. It's the cumulative effect of what you do every single day. And that's ultimately what our habits are. They're the things that we do routinely. I saw a Duke University study that said 45% of everything we do in our waking hours is habitual. I mean, that means almost half of everything we do from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed is on autopilot and is on cruise control, and we're doing unconsciously. So clearly we want as many of those habits to be positive and things that move us forward as possible.
My friend Alan Stein Jr. spent 15 years working with the highest performing basketball players in the world, including some of the best ever in the NBA. He shifted focus about 2 years ago to enter the world of corporate speaking when he realized that the leadership, culture, and teamwork he was teaching through basketball could be applied in the business world as well. Alan delivers high-energy keynotes and interactive workshops to improve performance, cohesion, and accountability. He inspires and empowers everyone he works with to take immediate action and improve mindsets, habits, and productivity. In this episode, Alan and I talk about his new book, Raise Your Game, that examines what the most influential leaders do during the unseen hours and provides proven principles that you can implement immediately. You will learn the routines, rituals, and habits of the best in sports and in business that will teach you how to unleash unparalleled productivity. Check the show notes for the link to pre-order Alan's new book, Raise Your Game. Go grab your notebook right now so you can write down all your favorite quotes as you listen to this episode of the Hoopheads Podcast with Alan Stein Jr. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are pleased to welcome back to the podcast, and I can now say my friend, Alan Stein. Alan, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks, Mike. So just to be clear, I was the first guest, and now am I the first repeat?
You are the second repeat because we had Greg White.
Third repeat because we've had Trevor Huffman on twice.
We had Trevor on to do it. He did an interview pod, and then he also came back on to do an NBA pod. But you are the first, let's put it this way, official interview guest twice, because Greg came on and did four quarters with Greg White, and then Trevor's done a couple NBA pods with us. So
too cool.
You're the first guy to get interviewed twice. So
those guys are awesome. But
first and still the best. Let's put it that way.
Cool. But I went from gold to bronze. I went from first to third. So I don't know. So if you don't have any three-peaters, I might have to come on again in January.
We'll try to get you as number one on the three-peat list for sure. That'd be a good way to go. So let's start out, Alan, by talking a little bit about your book that you have coming out. Can you just tell people a little bit about what the book is going to entail, when it comes out, and why you're so excited about it? And then we'll kind of jump into some of the content that it's going to cover.
Absolutely. So the book is called Raise Your Game, and it's High Performance Secrets from the Best of the Best. And I'm really excited. The book will actually come out January 8th, but it's available for pre-order now. And I've got some bonuses and some incentives for anyone that wants to place an order before Christmas. You know, I'm excited on a couple levels. One, it was a passion project for me. I've always kind of had on my professional bucket list that I wanted to write a book, and I've always felt that I've had one in me. So just from that standpoint, you know, it was a really fun and worthwhile endeavor. But it's also a chance to kind of scale the message and offer, you know, what I believe is incredibly valuable content at a very low price point. So, you know, I realized that, you know, there's, you know, when you look at the different range between, say, having someone come in and speak to your team or to your business directly, all the way down to some of the online coaching options, you know, a book is still one of the most cost-effective ways to share really dense, high-level content. So, you know, I'm really hoping that it's a tool that not only players and coaches will embrace and find helpful and useful, but really anyone that wants to improve their performance. So, you know, this could be a business owner or an entrepreneur. It could be, again, a sport coach or an athlete. So I was very careful in how I designed and wrote the book to make sure that it would be of value to a variety of different people.
Can you explain how that kind of ties in with where you are in your career path at this point? Because it sounds like the book almost dovetails exactly with where you are in your life.
Yes, and that's an incredibly insightful perspective that you have, to no surprise, it really does. The book kind of mimics the journey that I was on. So, you know, I spent 20 years, give or take, in the basketball performance industry, and loved every minute of it, and really took a lot of pride and enjoyed serving coaches and players. But a couple of years ago, was just ready for a new challenge and ready to take on something different, and kind of wanted to take everything that I had learned through the game, everything that I'd learned through some amazing coaches and mentors, and even everything I've learned from the players that I've had an opportunity to work with, and kind of pivot and share that with folks in a more corporate and business-oriented genre, and be able to take those same lessons and mindsets and rituals and show them how they can apply those to business. And that's really what the book is about. It's about taking the principles of achievement on the court and applying those to principles of performance and achievement in any area of our life. But, you know, to really make sure that the book had nice balance and that it wasn't just going in one direction from, you know, basketball to business, I did a ton of research on the business side and learned what the highest performing business leaders and the best business cultures, what they do to perform and achieve at a high level, and was able to kind of reverse engineer that. So I think one of the neat things about the book, you know, let's say you're a high school coach or you're a skill development trainer or even a high school player and you're reading it, not only will you find value in some of the basketball stories and lessons, but you'll find value in some of the business lessons. And a high school coach can and should absolutely, you know, learn from a company like Google or Nike or Apple and figure out the things that they do to create a winning culture and then apply that to their team. You know, I know a lot of people love taking the sports analogies and applying them to business, but I'd love to see some sports teams and coaches and players take some of the lessons in the other direction so that it's, you know, you'll learn from either end of the spectrum.
Can you give us one story or one example that would go the direction that you're describing that you could take from business and apply to, let's say, a high school coaching situation where someone was trying to put together a program or build a culture at their school?
Absolutely. One of the most powerful ones was about Arthur Blank, who's the co-founder of Home Depot. And really kind of when the company was in its infancy and he was still trying to figure out exactly what Home Depot could be, he talked about how important it was to listen and how important it was to listen to your customer, because they're the ones that are the gold. Like, if you can learn what the customer really wants and really needs, and you can learn to solve those problems, then you'll have a very successful business. And he said in his really early days, he would stand in the parking lot of one of the flagship Home Depot stores, and anytime a customer would leave and they didn't purchase anything, so they walked out empty-handed, they're not holding a Home Depot bag, he would go up to them and ask them why. Like, why did you enter the store but leave with nothing? Is it because we didn't have what you wanted? Is it because you couldn't find what you wanted? Is it because our customer service, you know, folks weren't very helpful? Did you find what you want but it was too expensive? Did you find what you want but it wasn't the right size or the right brand? Or, you know, and he's asking all of these questions, and he was taking, you know, note after note after note, and he would start to notice certain trends. And if he noticed that there were things that the store didn't have that a lot of people wanted, then he would get it. If he got any feedback that was less than stellar about the way the staff or the customer service folks were treating, he would make adjustments. And, you know, over time, he would listen, and then he would tweak and make the changes necessary, because ultimately, you know, a store like Home Depot is only going to be in business if they serve their customers to an incredibly high level. And, you know, I found that a really powerful message for a coach to be able to apply, and how important it is for them to listen and listen to their players and listen to their assistant coaches and take in as much information as you can. And of course, as the head coach, you know, you are the CEO of your program or of your team. So just because you take in the information, it doesn't mean that you have to change, like change with the wind. And every time someone makes a suggestion, you do that. but it's important to listen for a few reasons. One, you're going to get a new perspective. I guarantee you that the lens of life that the 15th man on the team sees the world is different than how the head coach sees it. So being open to all of these different perspectives and hearing what other people think and how other people feel and what their opinions are, from everything from, you know, each team member's role to the way we conduct practices, is really, really valuable. But the other reason listening is so powerful, it shows that you care. And caring is the glue that bonds any team, any organization. It doesn't matter if it's sport or business. And a head coach being able to sit down, like with this example, the 15th man, and simply ask questions, it shows that player that you care about them. And if they know you care about them, they will give their best effort with their highest level of focus on a consistent basis. And any good coach will tell you that, yes, you know, your starting five or your top eight players, I mean, they've got to be performing at a high level. But the best teams also have player 9 through 15 busting their butt every day in practice, every day in the weight room, because those are the guys that get the starting five or the top eight better. And, you know, if you want to be a winning organization, you have to have buy-in and believe in from everyone. And listening to your players and your assistants is one of the best ways to create that.
Yeah, it's amazing the number of coaches that we've talked to, Alan, that have said basically that same thing, that it's so important to be able to develop relationships with the kids and players on their team. And again, a lot of them have different methods of doing that, but almost to a man, everybody that we've talked to has said that developing those relationships is the key to getting their kids to play hard for them and to really build the program that they want to build. And so I think that it's a great point to say that you have to listen not just to your star, not just to your one assistant coach, but you really have to take feedback from everybody. And as you do that, again, you're going to sift through that and take the things that really you think are going to make the difference. But it's very, very important to let people know that you're listening and that they're heard. And a lot of times that's all that people want, is just the ability to be heard and know that somebody is taking their point of view seriously. So let's talk a little bit about how...
Well, I was going to say, before you move on, you just touched on a great point, and there's a couple of follow-up thoughts that I have. I mean, one, yes, absolutely, from a relationship standpoint. So this has nothing to do with the actual game of basketball. It has to do with building a level of trust and connection on a human level that will get people to buy in to the basketball portion. And this can be as simple as, you know, I mean, if you have 15 players on your team, at least once a week, you should be able to walk up to each player and say something to the effect of, you know, hey, what's going on in your world? Like just an open-ended question where they can take it wherever they want. You're not asking them anything specific about basketball. You're not talking to them about a specific class. Like, those are things that need to be addressed. But on some level, just asking an open-ended question, hey, what's going on in your world? You know, hey, what's on your mind today? Anything like that, and make a commitment to go from player 1 to 15 at least once a week. So that's basically 15, you know, 5 to 10 minute conversations you need to make a commitment to having in and around practice and games, and you'll just see that your relationship will flourish. You'll improve trust, you'll improve connection, you'll open up lines of communication, and that will absolutely lead to players giving you a better effort with higher levels of focus more consistently. And then also, if you're really trying to get some solid intel, then I think asking every player on the team or every assistant coach on the team questions like, what do you think we're really, really good at as a team? What do you think our biggest weakness is, or where are we exposed when we play others? You know, who do you think the hardest worker on our team is? Who do you think the most talented player on our team is? Who do you think is the most selfish player on our team? Like, any of these questions, you'll get a different perspective. And that's the thing. As the head coach, we have to remember that we're only going to see the world through our own lens. So as a head coach, you know, you have your opinion of who the hardest worker is and who the most talented is and who the most selfish is. But lots of times the people that are really, you know, have their boots on the ground, they may see things differently. They may have a different opinion with some of those things. And I just think it's important to gather as much of that information as you can so that you can make much more accurate, educated decisions with every single thing that you do. And, you know, these are not things that have to be asked every practice or every week, just over the course of the season, kind of ask these things. And there's a variety of ways you can do it. I mean, you can do them with one-on-one meetings. You could do them with open team meetings. Some of these work really effectively if you do them somewhat anonymously and you do them written. You know, I can completely understand that if, as a head coach, you walk up to a player and say, all right, who's the most selfish kid on the team? That's going to be really hard for them to answer because, one, it could be their friend. Two, it could be them. Three, they don't want to throw somebody under the bus because that seems kind of counterintuitive to building a solid team. But that's a pretty powerful question to have everybody write on a 3x5 card and submit anonymously, and then you tally it up. So there's a variety of different ways that you can open those lines of communication, and the end result will always, always be worth the effort that you put forth.
Yeah, I think that ties into sort of the next point that I wanted to bring up, which is I would guess that the reason why, if a coach isn't doing some of those things, and again, coaches may do it in a slightly different way than another coach, but I do believe that if coaches are not doing it, it's probably because it just is not a habit. And if you can make things like that into a habit where you just are doing it almost automatically, where, like, we talked to Coach Rob Brose from Bolingbrook High School in Chicago, and he talked a little bit about how every day during his players' dynamic stretching, he just walks with the players and talks to them during the time when he's stretching. And so that's something that might not work for every coach because people are doing different things in practice, but he's just made that a habit, and that's how he gets into those conversations like you described. So can you talk about how important it is to build good habits, both in yourself as a coach, as a player, as a business owner, how important your habits are to your ultimate success?
I mean, outside of your attitude and your mindset, they're probably the most important factor on whether or not you will be successful or at least perform to your highest level. I mean, our habits, I mean, they're that vital. And we have to realize that high performance in basketball or in business, it's not a result of what you do every once in a while. It's the cumulative effect of what you do every single day. And that's ultimately what our habits are. They're the things that we do routinely. I saw a Duke University study that said 45% of everything we do in our waking hours is habitual. I mean, that means almost half of everything we do from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed is on autopilot and is on cruise control, and we're doing unconsciously. So clearly we want as many of those habits to be positive and things that move us forward as possible. Clearly nobody's perfect. We're all, you know, fallible. We all have flaws as human beings. So I don't think anyone has 100% great positive habits, but the goal is to try to get as many of those in your bucket as you can and try to eliminate as many poor habits as you can. But those habits, yeah, I mean, I've seen those from the best players, and I've seen those from the best coaches. It's not accident. It's cause and effect. I mean, most of the best players and most of the highest performing coaches also have the best habits. And, you know, it's always an interesting one because that's where talent comes into play. You can have a player that is incredibly talented. They have so many natural gifts from athleticism on down the line, and they have really poor habits, and yet they still perform at a fairly decent level if you're playing the comparison game, but they're not performing at the level that they're capable of. I mean, you know, you've been around this game for a long time. If you look at the high school level, I mean, if you give me a kid that's 6'8", 6'9", really athletic, can jump through the roof, they can probably get away with having several bad habits, and they're still going to be better than most high school kids. But that's playing the wrong game. That's playing the comparison game. So one, they're not as good as they're capable of being. And two, as you also know so well, when they move up levels and then they move to college and then eventually potentially to be a pro, those habits are going to be exposed, and it's going to catch up with them at some point. So, you know, creating habits is essential. And it's one of the main focal points for me in my life is I, you know, try to improve my performance in every area. You know, I try and improve my performance as a father. I try and improve my performance as a speaker, as a writer, as a business owner. And I'm constantly evaluating and reevaluating all of my habits in those different areas and doing the best I can to make some tweaks.
So I know that one of your famous quotes is hanging in the locker room at Penn State, correct?
Yes.
Can you share
football training center?
Can you share that quote with people and just kind of explain a little bit about what exactly goes into what you said in that particular quote?
Sure. Well, it's, are the habits you have today on par with the dreams you have tomorrow? And, you know, ultimately that's saying that if you have big dreams, which I'm hoping everyone does, then you have to have high level habits and have some alignment between the two if you ever hope to achieve them. You know, if your behavior doesn't match your beliefs, then one of those things has to change. Same thing with habits and dreams. You know, if they're not in alignment, then you either need to change your habits and adopt more positive habits, or you need to change your dreams and lower the bar, because there's no way you're going to be able to attain the, you know, some of these auspicious goals that you have if you don't have habits that are in alignment and in harmony with those. And, you know, I'm certainly incredibly honored and flattered that Penn State football chose to put that up, you know, in their weight room. But it's, I mean, that really speaks volumes to the type of culture that they've created and are trying to create. And it's something that all of us should live by, you know, because regardless of what your goal is, I mean, let's just say a player is listening to this and he's a ninth grader and says, you know, I want to start on varsity as a junior. All right, well, then start looking at your habits. Are your work habits and both in the classroom and on the court, are they congruent with what you need to do to be able to start for your varsity team as a junior? I mean, it's a simple yes or no. And if the answer is no, well, you better change your habits or you better change your dreams, because it's not going to happen. And that I think is a great self-actualization and self-reflection exercise for all of us to ask.
Yeah, I think as a kid, I think that's something that it's a lot of times challenging. I know just in my job as a teacher, a lot of times you hear kids saying, I want to do this, or I want to be X, or I want to do this next thing that I see. And it's very difficult sometimes to get them to understand that, well, yeah, that's fine if that's what you want to do, but what are you doing in order to help propel yourself towards that goal? And a lot of times kids don't always see that connection. I think as they mature and get older, I think that connection starts to be made. But especially with younger kids, sometimes that's not always in place. That connection between what my dreams are and what my habits are don't always connect. So I think if kids can hear that message early and hear it often, I think that it's going to bring those two closer together and really
For sure.
allow kids to be able to push forward to, you know, to reach what they're hoping to attain.
Well, you know, in my opinion, that is the primary reason that Stephen Curry is as successful as he is. Yes, obviously it helped that he had a father that was an NBA sharpshooter for a dozen years. But more important than his dad being able to teach him footwork or teach him shooting mechanics, I think the most important thing was he modeled that connection for Steph at a very young age, that Steph grew up thinking, my dad's a really good shooter, and my dad goes to the gym all of the time to work on his shot. My dad's a really good shooter, and my dad goes into practice early every day. My dad's a really good shooter, and he stays after practice every day. And that's the connection that I think is the best gift that Dell gave his son, was to model that. And of course it helped that Steph was born with certain gifts like, you know, incredible hand-eye coordination and balance. And yes, I'm sure his dad did teach him some footwork and shooting mechanics at a young age. But the most important was, at a very early age, Steph realized, if I want to be a great shooter, then I have to get in reps and I have to put in the work and I have to have habits like my dad has. And to me, that's one of the best gifts a parent can give. And while clearly not anywhere close to being as good as Del Curry was, I can still model that connection for my children. And that can be a gift that I can give them. So for them, I make sure they understand how much preparation I put in when I'm going to give a keynote, or how much effort I put in when I was writing this book. I want them to make the connection that if they want to be good at something, they have to practice, and they have to do it consistently, and they have to do it, you know, with purpose, and that needs to become a habit. And that's one of the most important things that I'm trying to impart to my own children.
Yeah, I think that comes back to something that I talked to Kevin Eastman on the podcast a week or two ago, I guess now, and one of Kevin's things from his book was the capability gap. And it kind of goes back to what you said, where you may be very good because you're 6'9 and athletic, or you may be very good because you're Steph Curry and you inherited some good genetics. But if you don't put in the time and the work, then you're not really getting to what you're capable of. You may be having some success, but you may be capable of doing so much more. And I think that's where the habits that you have and where you're trying to get to, you have to put those two together and try to shrink that capability gap, is what Kevin talked about. So I think that's really a good way to kind of look at things that I had never heard expressed in that particular way before.
Yeah, no, I love that. And you know, Coach Eastman has been a longtime friend and mentor to me, and has, I mean, boy, we could spend 10 hours talking about all the stuff that he's taught and shared and imparted to me. And yeah, that's huge. That goes back to not playing that comparison game. It has nothing to do with whether or not you're better than the guy next to you. It has everything to do with whether or not you're being the best that you're capable of being, especially in that present moment. And that's crucial in every single area of our life. And it's really hard because we live in a society, especially with social media, that we keep falling into that trap of wanting to play the comparison game. But you know, any coach that's worth their salt realizes that their goal is to get each individual player to perform as close to their potential as possible, and then get the collective unit to do the exact same thing. And if you show me a kid that is doing everything possible to max out their talent, you know, that's the type of kid that everyone wants to coach, and that's the type of kid that everyone wants to play with. And eventually that kid will hopefully find some peace in knowing that they were the best they were capable of being. And that's one of the things I find so fascinating, especially about as high school players matriculate up, you know, to the college level, that so many kids have this mindset of, you know, I need to play D1 or bust. You know, first of all, in today's day and age, the D2, D3, and NAIA and JUCO levels are incredibly high levels of basketball. So it's about being the best player that you're capable of. And if you maximize everything that you're in control of, your attitude, your effort, your preparation, your athleticism, your basketball IQ, your skills, and Division III is the highest level that you're capable of playing, you should be incredibly proud of that and know that you are still in the upper 1% of everyone that laces them up in high school.
Yeah, I think kids sometimes lose perspective on that. I know that I can speak for myself. When I was in high school, I certainly lost perspective on that. And
oh, yeah.
Only had an idea of, you know, I wanted to be able to play Division I basketball, and luckily I was fortunate enough to be able to do that. But certainly for a time during my recruitment, it didn't look like that was going to be the case. So I feel very fortunate that not only did I get a chance to fulfill my dream of playing Division I, but I also had it turn out to be a positive for me. So I can't complain about the way things turned out for me in that case. But I want to jump back to, Alan, your book. I'm super excited to get a chance to read it. For anybody who's out there listening, if you know Alan, if you've listened to him on either one of the podcasts with us that he's been on, or you've listened to him on anything else that he's ever done, I can't imagine why you wouldn't want to go out and pick up the book and just be able to basically pick his brain and read, as he said, a bunch of in-depth information that's going to help you to make yourself a better coach, a better player, a better business leader. When we're talking about always looking to improve, Alan's book is going to help you to do that. Alan, two things before we get out of here. One, can you talk a little bit about what you're trying to do with your street team and see if you can promote that here? And then also give people an idea of where they can go to pre-order the book so they can get it right when it comes out.
Absolutely. Well, I'll take those in reverse order. RaiseYourGameBook.com is the website. And, you know, my team and I have done everything we can to make that site as user-friendly and robust as possible. So anything and everything someone would need as far as information for the book. There's a whiteboard animated trailer that really gives a good overview and summary and synopsis of the book. And you can order, there's several links there. So every major book retailer that's offering the book, you can go to it directly from that site. And I do have some special bonuses for anyone that's interested in placing an order before Christmas, especially if they're in bulk. If there's any coaches listening that want to get this for your team or even for your entire program, you know, JV and varsity, boys and girls, or for, you know, entire coaching staffs, if you're looking to get multiple copies, just drop me an email at alan@allensteinjr.com. I can offer a 40% discount up until Christmas and can throw in some other bonuses. I mean, if a coach listening wants to order a set for their team, you know, get 12 to 15 copies, I'd be happy to personally sign them and have some type of customized inscription, you know, with your team or program name or anything I can do, you know, to add a little extra value. And if anyone wanted to order kind of a program set, 45 or 50 copies to cover boys and girls, JV and varsity, you know, I'd be happy to do a 30-minute video call either with your staff or with your entire team or whatever I can do to add value and really show my appreciation for the investment you're making in the book and in my work. The street team was actually something I learned from a friend of mine that did a book launch several months ago. And, you know, I'm looking for people that not just want to support me, but kind of want to support the movement and want to support what this book represents and who it's trying to help and why I wrote it in the first place. So anyone that's passionate about helping others improve performance and wants to fill other people's buckets, you can just click on the Street Team tab at raiseyourgamebook.com, and it'll kind of show you, you know, what we need from you and what we're willing to do. I want that to be kind of a smaller, private, exclusive group where, you know, people are doing a lot of things to help get the word on the street about the book. I want to make sure I reciprocate in value, and we have a private Facebook group that's really starting to pick up some steam, and we've got folks that are sharing some really cool stuff in there. And I have got some other, you know, little perks and benefits about being part of the street team. And I don't want any of this to ever feel salesy or pushy. I mean, with my belief in the process, I've already done the most important part, which was write the best book that I was capable of writing at the time. And now I simply want to share that with people that I think it can help. I'm not at all worried about how many I sell. I'm not at all worried about making money. I'm not at all worried about making any type of bestseller list, because those are all outcomes. That's not very important to me. What's important is just spreading the word of a book I believe in. And if enough people feel as strongly about it as I do, then those things will just take care of themselves. And it's the same advice I would give a player or a coach. Like, don't worry about winning the game. Worry about getting the best shot you're capable of getting on this one possession. And then on the other end, focus on making the other team take the lowest percentage shot possible. And if you just focus on the process, focus on making the extra pass, focus on boxing out, focus on doing the little things, if you do that stuff consistently, winning usually takes care of itself. And that's really how I'm approaching the book. But would certainly love anybody's support and look forward to getting some feedback when folks actually start reading it.
I'm going to give you the sales pitch, Alan. You don't have to give it the sales pitch. People out there, please get out there and buy Alan's book. I can only imagine how tremendous it's going to be. I've had the opportunity to spend time with Alan both on the podcast and off, and he's just a tremendous person that cares about other people, and I can't think of how that book would not add tremendous value to anybody's life out there who's going to pick up the book and read it. So, Alan, we want to say thanks again to you for jumping on the podcast for the second time. We got you on lockdown for your third time to be the first guest to get on three times on the Hoopheads podcast. So we really appreciate your time. We thank you for coming on. And to everyone out there, we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks. If you're looking for a great way to spend the holidays playing some basketball, please join us at one of our Head Start Basketball Holiday Camps on December 27th and 28th, 2018. We'll have a camp at Hoop Guru Courthouse in Hinckley and also at St. Pascal Bailon School in Highland Heights. The Head Start Basketball Holiday Camps will emphasize the fundamentals of basketball with individual attention given to each camper. You'll improve your basketball skills and have a ton of fun at the Head Start Basketball Holiday Camp. To register or get more information, please visit our website, www.headstartbasketball.com. Head Start Basketball's Player Development Academy offers Cleveland area players a unique opportunity to improve their basketball skills.
regardless of a player's age, skill level, or position, training with Head Start Basketball will elevate your game to the next level. Do you want to improve your ball handling, become a better shooter, or develop into a more skilled, confident player? Our Academy classes offer training that's designed to do just that. Our training sessions are innovative and will have you learning skills that are transferable to actual games. We have 4 different class skill levels for boys and girls, ages 4 and up. All Player Development Academy classes will be held at the Strongsville Recreation Center. For more information or to get registered, please visit www.headstartbasketball.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.